This is an appeal for Israel's repentance to the chief musician, a psalm of Asaph. Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute. Blow the trumpet at the time of the new moon, at the full moon on our solemn feast day. For this is a statute for Israel, a law of the God of Jacob. This he established in Joseph as a testimony, when he went throughout the land of Egypt, where I heard a language I did not understand. I removed his shoulder from the burden, his hands were freed from the baskets. You called in trouble, and I delivered you. I answered you in the secret place of thunder. I tested you at the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will admonish you, O Israel, if you will listen to me. There shall be no foreign god among you, nor shall you worship any foreign god. I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people would not heed my voice, and Israel would have none of me. So I gave them over to their own stubborn heart, to walk in their own counsels. Oh, that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. I would soon subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their adversaries. The haters of the Lord would pretend submission to him, but their fate would endure forever. He would have fed them also with the finest of wheat, and with honey from the rock, I would have satisfied you. In this psalm, we have Asaph practically begging Israel to repent. As we see throughout the Old Testament, the Israelites had pretty much a cycle of, how shall I say, the Israelites would turn away from the Lord, then they would repent and come back, and then they would turn away from the Lord, repent and come back, and do it over and over again. Well, repentance is something that never seemed to be something that stuck with them. And I started thinking back into my life and trying to think back, when was the first time that I really learned the value of repentance? And I had to think about when I was probably 13 years old. I remember this day very vividly, just like it was yesterday. Being a big college football fan, it was a big day on November 9th, 1991. Tennessee was playing Notre Dame, number 13 versus number 5 in the country. There's been build up for weeks. I've been excited. I could barely sleep. It was really, really big. Anyways, I had been able to stay out of trouble for the most part through most of my younger years, except for that last year of junior high. That last year of junior high, I got into a little bit of trouble, and me and some of my friends had been pulling some pranks in our neighborhood that we lived in. Well, my parents found out about one, and lo and behold, what was my punishment? I had to miss the game I've been looking forward to for all these weeks. So, while the big game was going on, I'm sitting in my room listening to my parents and my brother celebrate when something good happens or groan when something bad happens. Of course, I am in misery. And at the same time, I'm thinking, wow, were the pranks that I was pulling really worth this? And obviously they were not. And it was kind of one of those things that when you're 13, throwing water balloons at cars seems like a great idea. But after you get in trouble and you have to miss the big game, it's not quite as much fun afterwards. Anyways, after the game was over, it ended up being a legendary game in the histories of both schools. For Notre Dame had been up 31-7 in the first half, and Tennessee came back and won in the second half, 35-34. It was one of the biggest blown leads of Notre Dame's storied history and one of the biggest comeback wins in Tennessee's storied history. So over the next several years, they're like releasing, this is still back in the days of VHS, commemorative VHS tapes of this of the big comeback in South, the miracle in South Bend, as it was called. And I had to see these commercials year after year, thinking, wow, am I ever gonna stop hearing about this? And I eventually came to the conclusion, well, I originally knew I was going to be, I was sorry that I did what I did, because I knew it was not right. Throwing water balloons at cars is not a good idea, regardless of how funny it seems at the time. But I was more sorry at the time because I had to miss the big game. After years go by, I finally get the notion that I'm really genuinely sorry for doing something that was wrong. And I think that's something that really struck a chord with me at the time, especially because growing up, I didn't ever get into a lot of trouble, but if there was a few instances growing up where my backside might get a few smacks if I was acting up. However, at this point in my life, I was too old to where that was going to work anymore, and I wasn't quite old enough to where the car could be taken away from me because I wasn't driving. So punishment like this was something that was very severe for me, and it definitely stuck with me, especially year after year as I saw these commemorative VHS tapes being released, and I'm having to relive the day that I missed over and over and over. So after many years of therapy, I eventually got over this after several years, and it definitely dawned on me that what I did was wrong, not because I had to miss the big game, but because what I did was the wrong thing to do. Now, I learned this much like the Israelites needed to repent, so did I at this point. And if you flash forward a couple thousand years to 2018, when you see our society is being bombarded with alternative lifestyles, killing unborn babies, and where the sense of right and wrong is basically dependent on what feels good. You even take a look at last week's Oscars. I did not watch last week's Oscars, but supposedly the movie of the year was a movie called The Shape of Water, a movie which I read the critique about afterwards, and it said it was full of nudity, profanity, adult situations, and even bestiality. You think, that is what wins movie of the year in our country these days. And that made me especially sad, knowing that so many portions of this country have turned into such a moral cesspool. And especially with, as many of you know, my wife Cynthia and I are expecting our first child in the next few months. And as exciting as that has been for the buildup that's involved with that, at the same time, there's still obviously so much concern bringing a child into this country, into this world that has turned its back on the Lord so much. And I look at myself and I think, I'm not an especially emotional person, but over the last 6 months, I noticed myself doing things like getting emotional, getting teary-eyed, picking out a stroller at Babies R Us. And I'm thinking, I've got a lot of work to do. I've got to get this together. So, as excited as I am being able to become a father in the next few months, there's still a certain level of concern and trepidation knowing that this baby that we already love with all our hearts is coming into a world that turned its back on the Lord a long time ago. And in the end, my only hope is that our country can get back to being the God-fearing country that it was raised on, and get back to being the God-fearing country that which we were intended to be. And as much as I want this to happen, I know this is not going to be overnight. I know this isn't going to be something, if it does happen, that's going to be anytime soon. But our duty as Christians is to do what we can, being able to live and show God's love, and being able to bring others to Him in the best way that we can. If we can look to the Lord for our guidance and not for so many of these various idols that we have in our world, we are in such better shape. And I guess, just to close this evening, please pray for me and Cynthia. Please pray for our country, because we have so many things that need improved upon. And it all starts with putting our focus back on God where it belongs. Thank you.
For all that you've done, I will thank you. For all that you're going to do. For all that you've promised and all that you are is all that has carried me through.